Position begins at verse 37. The subject tonight is rivers of water and divided opinion. Now, for the sake of time, would you allow me to break up the passage as I read, make a number of expository comments on the way through, and that will clear me to deal with the basic issues in the passage. Verses 37 to 39 is the proclamation of Christ on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly inwards shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now notice in verse 37, invitation. Anyone thirst, let him come to me. Verse 38, promise. He that believeth, out of his inwards shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, explanation. No doubt possibly given by John. This spake he of the Spirit. You'll notice, please, that the drink of verse 37 produces the rivers of verse 38. That is the power of the Spirit in verse 39. That you drink, but it becomes a river. Notice again, please, in the explanatory statement, verse 39. You'll notice, please, that the word given is not in the original. The Spirit was not yet. Now, the word given supplies exactly what is meant. That the Spirit, it's looking forward to Pentecost. Notice, please, that that verse indicates a new way that the Spirit would come. No longer to be upon them, but to indwell them. Notice it indicates a new day. When Christ is glorified, the Spirit will come. Notice it indicates a new experience. Never before had it been spoken of just like this. Nor afterward. The Lord will talk about sealing and the apostles about sealing and anointing and so on. Nothing just exactly like this. This is a very broad statement. It's a new experience. But notice again, please. It's a normal experience. Is that right? Is the Spirit flowing out like rivers from each one of us? This is supposed to be normal. It's a normal experience. And in passing, would the students be interested to note that the four verbs, thirst, come, drink, and believer, are in the present tense. Interesting, isn't it? Now, leave that now, please. The next section, verses 40 to 44. Division produced by the proclamation. The division that was produced. Verses 40 to 42, variety of opinion. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" Verse 42, "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Divided opinion, divided viewpoints, variety. verses 43 and 44, the result that was produced. So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Notice the viewpoints. Verse 40, the prophetic viewpoint. Is this the prophet? Verse 41, the messianic viewpoint. Is this the Christ? Verse 42, the scriptural viewpoint. He comes from Bethlehem. He's the seed of David. Now verses 45 to 49, the Pharisees and the officers. The Pharisees and the officers. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. 45 and 46, the confession of the officers. 47 to 49, the sneering of the Pharisees. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Verse 47, they're sneering. Are you also deceived? Verse 48, pride. Have any of the intelligentsia believed? Verse 49, contempt. But this rabble, the riffraff, he says, they know not the law. Verses 50 to 53, the Pharisees and Nicodemus. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Notice John always identifies persons and places, writing 60 years after the event. So verse 50, identification. This man is he that came by night. Verse 51, challenge. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? The challenge of Nicodemus. Verse 52, indignation. They don't answer the challenge. They've nothing to say. They can't. They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. The indignation, albeit the ignorance of these men. And every man went to his own house. Thank you. The proclamation of Christ. It's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Throughout the week they have been bringing golden vessels with water, possibly from the pool of Siloam, and pouring it out at the foot of the altar. Rabbinical interpretation indicates three things. That this was introduced in order to commemorate and remember the miraculous provision of water in the wilderness. Two, to draw to remembrance the fact that when they entered the land, the miraculous water was not given because the land was full of springs and rivers. And thirdly, to them it indicated a promise for the people that lay in the future when a fertilizing power, unknown to them presently, would go through the land. You will notice that the Lord took his place and raised his voice. Now, here's what he said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. Notice, please, two vivid ideas. Verse 37. a thirsty man, the eastern sun beating down mercilessly upon him. His supply of water has gone. His mouth is dry, his lips are parched, his face is flushed, his body is dehydrated. He longs with consuming passion for a drink. And Christ, yes, and with that picture of humanity, away from God, a picture of any person separated in any degree from Christ, the Lord indicates, such a condition can be met by me. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Verse 38, second picture. The picture now is of the ground dry. The sun has beat down. The ground is baked and dry. The river bed is empty. Trees and shrubs are shriveled. The animals are groaning for lack of pasture. Thereby Christ indicates human, secular, godless society, desiccated, dissatisfied, thirsty. And Christ indicates that it can be met by living men with living water. That's you. That's me. Do you think you can meet it? Have you got the ideas? Now please. Verse 37, invitation. Christ says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Notice three words. Thirst, come, drink. Now that's the order. Thirst, come, drink. Now watch what he says. If any man, it's universal, goes out to everybody. If any man, it's individual. Have you got it? What Christ is proclaiming is universal. If any man, no matter where he is, no matter who he is, what Christ has for men is for every man. There is no such thing as iron curtains, bamboo curtains. God is above them all. God has made provision for all men because he's their God. Now never forget that, brethren. He's not their father, but he's their God. And when God makes provision, he makes provision for every man, if any man. Ah, but he turns, if any man, that's individual. He breaks up humanity into component parts. He separates them. If any man, in the individuality of his person, in all his peculiar needs, if any man thirst, let him come to me thirst. Yes. Normal thing in an eastern land for a man to thirst. This agony of human need. I can remember when I was a boy. We lived in a village in the outskirts of Coatbridge. And on a Saturday we would go out yonder into the woods. We'd be away all day. And by late afternoon, you began to feel a thirst. You'd a long way to come back. You know, I can remember well the agony of that. Just longing for a drink, that's it. Christ vividly portrays humanity. The world unable to meet its need. A thirst, a passion, a longing, an agony for satisfaction and refreshment. Can you hear the Christ of God? If any man thirsts, let him come to me. There's no other source. The world cannot satisfy. It cannot satisfy a man socially, religiously, educationally. Only Christ can satisfy. If any man thirst. Got it? We believe that for sinners. Do you believe it for yourselves? You prepared to accept that the world does not satisfy and only Christ can meet the need? If any man thirst, let him come. Just as in those days their feet would take them to Christ. We can't do that. But men and women can come in heart and in will to Christ. Let him come unto me and drink. Oh, we've been hearing about this. Living water. We've been hearing about the Spirit of God for worship. Now in a moment or two, the Spirit of God for service. But watch, please. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He offers water, living water, to satisfy and refresh men. It's, yes, we've got it.
But watch, please. Watch the imagery. If any man thirst, let him come and drink water. He'll give them living water. Would you allow me? Water is a gift from God. Man can't create it. God gives it. Salvation is of the Lord. That's it. Secondly, water comes down from heaven. Isn't that right? Was not this water brought near to us from heaven? Did not Christ and the Spirit unite in action to make it possible? United in the incarnation? United in the perfection of a life that was lived? United yonder when through the eternal Spirit he offered himself without spot to God and laid the basis? United in resurrection? Quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God? Yes, that's it. This gift comes down from heaven. Thirdly, water's indispensable to humanity. It's a necessity. It's not a luxury. You can live without food. 40 days, the Bible will tell you can live without food. They tell me you'll hardly go a week without water. Here is something that is indispensable to humanity. Look again. Here is something that's universal in its need. It's not local. Every person needs water. Look again. Water stimulates, invigorates, and satisfies the whole body. Salvation's for the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. Satisfies the whole of a person. Notice, please, water permanently satisfies, isn't that right? Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Permanence of satisfaction. In fact, verse 14 of John 4 argues too for eternal security. Permanent satisfaction. Think of it. You remember the man in Luke 16? Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Watch now, please. Watch. That he might dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Would you look, please? No water in hell. None in hell. Terrible, isn't it? Can you gather this up, please? You see, I'm trying to raise within your souls a heart for the gospel, a world that's lying, thirsting, longing, in agony of soul, and doesn't know what they need. Oh, that we could stand by the Christ today. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he that believeth on me. Notice, coming and believing are equated. He that believeth in me, out of his inwards shall flow rivers of living water. Will you notice, please, the drink of verse 37 becomes rivers of water, gushing out, flowing full, waters in abundance. I indicated already that Christ has chosen this way of speaking before the dispensation began to indicate something that's new, original, exclusive. Here is the Spirit of God, and when a person receives him, he becomes rivers of water flowing out. Is that right? We can't contain the Spirit. He must flow out and gush his way around. And the world there lying, see it, dry, thirsty. And you and I have got what they need by the power of the Spirit of God. Do you believe it? Is it true? Tell me, are you saved? Is this normal? Come on, brethren. Come, sister. Listen again. He that believeth on me, are you standing there? Oh, don't be too quick. He that believeth on me, out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. So that everybody that we contact, we bring near to them the water of life. The glory of the gospel. The wonder of the indwelling Christ. But here, the Spirit given to flow out. Not here. Not here as power for worship. here is power for service. You can't contain the Spirit that you're given. Isn't that right? Come on, brethren, is that true? Oh, we've retracted so much from Pentecostal and Neo-Pentecostal teaching that we'll fail to emphasize and teach and proclaim and challenge. Are these lives of ours channels for the Spirit of God to bring the water of life to men? Filled. Obviously, you must be filled here ere the thing flows out. You come to the Acts of the Apostles. You'll need to make a difference between being full of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. Is that right? Full of the Spirit is characteristic. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. That's characteristic. But you get other times when the apostles and disciples were filled with the Spirit for a certain thing. Now please, don't fall into the trap. When you read that persons were filled with the Spirit for a certain thing, that the filling there is not, repeat, this filling there is not in contrast to being empty. That's not right. But were the disciples and apostles empty of the Spirit when the Spirit filled them for certain things? Not at all. But it meant that when certain situations and circumstances arose, there was a filling of the Spirit to meet the need. Let me turn to Stephen, filled with the Spirit. They're looking for a man to serve widows. Filled with the Spirit is the qualification. Oh, brethren, is that right? When we want somebody to do something like this, what's the qualification? Business acumen? Come on, brethren. Filled with the Spirit. And if that's true of serving tables, say, when you're looking around and you're looking for someone to lead God's people and you're wanting a little fellowship in the work, what's the first qualification? Come on, brethren. You're looking for a brother filled with the Holy Spirit, never mentioned. Have you ever heard overseeing brethren sitting down and saying, brethren, we'll need to look around, we're needing a little help in this business. I wonder who's interested. I wonder if there's any potential candidates. Does somebody say, well now, which of the brethren are filled with the Holy Spirit? Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit to serve tables. Filled with the Holy Spirit to address the council. Filled with the Holy Spirit when his last moments he saw the glory of God and Jesus. Wonderful, isn't it? Listen, the second man in the Acts full of the Holy Spirit, Barnabas. What for? To work in a local church. A new assembly, fresh converts. Jerusalem sends a man down to meet the need. When you get new converts, there's increase of joy, but increase of problems. Isn't that right? Do you think you could meet it? Come on, brethren. If God answered your prayers on salvation, could you handle the situation? What's needed? Three things are needed. A good man, full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Central, full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, brethren, is that right? Let's get ourselves up now, please, against what the book says. Have you got it? Out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. And here's the Spirit gushing out of a man, gushing out of a woman, so that everywhere we go, we bring the water of life to men. We bring before them that which is needed. You know, sometimes you get ashamed. Down yonder in Wales, sitting in a home one Lord's Day afternoon awaiting tea, a relative of the friends came in. Very bright young woman. You could see by looking at her, she was a Christian. She was full of the joy of the Lord. Then she tried to convert me to Pentecostalism and speaking with tongues. And as she went out the door, refusing to accept what one brought before her, we were challenged. We were challenged, brethren. Is that how we appear to others? If we've got the right thing, if we've got the truth, brethren, why is it not gushing out, radiant, that all may see? bringing what we've got to others, telling them and reminding them of the Christ that can do it. For the Christ that stood that day and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. If you believe in me, then you'll become my messengers. What I'm holding out to men today, you can hold out to men tomorrow. Is that right? Oh, wait. Please. Away you go home. Let's go home, brethren. And let's get into the presence of God. And read verse 38 again. He that believeth on me, out of his inwards shall flow rivers of living water. And as we acknowledge our failure, oh, listen to me, will you? Was it not this very experience in the apostles and others that turned the world upside down in the Acts? Isn't that right? Just a handful of people under the control and power of the Spirit of God. There it went. There they were. The Word of God grew and multiplied. The disciples were multiplied. Oh, the wonder of it. This spake he of the Spirit. Come now, please, just a word or two on the divisions. You'll notice. Verse 40, I've called it the prophetic viewpoint. They said this, of a truth, this is the prophet. Who's this? This is the prophet that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me. You know, that prophecy seemed to have gripped them. When they went to interview John the Baptist in John 1, they had the same thing to say. Art thou that prophet? Somehow they felt that here was a prophecy that could be fulfilled in Christ. The prophetic viewpoint. Art thou, yes. This is the prophet. Verse 41, the messianic viewpoint. This is the Christ. Oh, there were those there who felt that as they gazed upon Christ, he must have been an imposing figure. Have you ever thought of it? We don't know how he looked. We haven't a clue. But brethren, true and ideal and sinless humanity, Christ must have been the most imposing personality this world has ever known. You'll notice that day he stood, and as he cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. People looked, they had heard about him. Is not this the Christ? This must be the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. But there were others said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Well, hadn't Jonah come? Maybe others as well. Verse 42, the scriptural viewpoint. Oh, these people knew. Christ cometh of the seed of David, Psalm 89. And out of the town of Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2. Here's the scriptural viewpoint. Can you understand it, brethren? Have you got it? They knew the scriptures, but they didn't know the Christ. They knew the Bible, but they didn't know the person of whom the Bible spoke. They said, Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. You see, the major premise was right. He comes from Bethlehem. He's of the seed of David. The minor premise was wrong. He comes out of Galilee. Therefore, they couldn't see how he could have come to Bethlehem. 45 to 49, the Pharisees and the officers. The officers came back. What an excuse to come back without a prisoner. Do you know what they're saying? Do you know the excuse they bring? Never man spake like this man. What, arrest him? He arrested us. The power of the preaching, superlative and glorious, captured these men. And as they listened to Christ preaching, they came back with their excuse. And when they were challenged, why haven't you arrested him? Mark their courage. Then the officer said, mark their conviction. Never man spake like
this man. Wonderful, isn't it? The Pharisees said, "Are ye also deceived?" They're sneering at them. They said, "Listen, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Only the intelligentsia can understand these things. We are the men trained for this job. Who are you to talk to us about him like this?" Well now, verse 48, maybe none of the Pharisees had believed. Verse 50 onward, it looks as though there's a man coming to faith. One of them was believing. Nicodemus raises the challenge. "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him?" No. They never answered him. They said, "Do you come from Galilee? You must be a Galilean when you're taking sides with the Galilean. You must be one of the party when you're not taking sides with us. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." No. And every man went to his own house. They dispersed. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And as I sit down tonight, can I come back to it? You'll excuse me, won't you? "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." Brethren and sisters, they're still thirsting. They're still longing for satisfaction. The agony of the human heart is ever present. Who can meet it? Christ, you. He has no lips today but yours. He has no feet but mine. Channels of blessing. The power of the Spirit of God in evidence. Can we lift our hearts as we stand beside Christ and let the prayer ascend? "Make me a channel of blessing today." Thank you.